Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're wrestling with a really radical idea, one that sort of challenges the entire operating system of modern civilization.
Yeah, it really does.
It's this relentless, almost obsessive pursuit of performance and growth.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources today argue that the main metrics we use to run society, things like GDP, productivity, they're not just inaccurate. They're fundamentally pathological.
Right. Pathological is the word.
And you can see the paradox, right? We celebrate these record stock market highs, massive economic output, but at the exact same time, we're seeing accelerating rates of chronic disease, ecological instability, just social exhaustion.
Total burnout.
Deep insecurity about the future. And this fascinating white paper we're looking at says this is not a coincidence. This is a direct system consequence.
That is the core thesis. The argument is that the way we define success, what the paper calls our semantic architecture, is, well, it's biologically incoherent.
Biologically incoherent. What does that actually mean?
Well, if you look at the language, the word performance actually came from mechanical and military engineering.
Okay.
You optimize an engine for maximum output, right? Fatigue is just an inconvenience because you can swap out a worn part.
A machine is, I mean, it's designed to be taken apart and rebuilt.
Exactly.
Right.
But we took that industrial grammar and just imported it wholesale into the most complex living systems on the planet.
Societies, ecosystems, our own bodies.
Right. With no biological or ecological translation whatsoever.
So we've basically been running civilization as if the planet and all of us on it are just replaceable parts in some giant machine.
That's a perfect way to put it. And the result is what the paper calls a dangerous semantic inversion.
An inversion.
Yeah. We've let momentary output, you know, a quarterly report, a GDP spike stand in for long-term viability. And by prioritizing that, we just structurally compress time horizons.
We normalize the slow, almost invisible liquidation of our most crucial capital.
Our soil, our social trust, our collective ability to recover from anything, it all gets drained.
So the mission for this deep dive is a kind of diagnostic mapping. We're going to use the lens of regulatory biology to see why this global pursuit of efficiency looks, well, medically, a lot like a chronic disease.
And I think the place to start is that fundamental distinction between machine performance and biological health.
Let's do it.
The distinction is everything. In biology, maximal performance is never, ever the same as health.
Right.
Take a really simple example, like a maximal sprint. That burst of speed is not health. It is a transient, incredibly expensive expenditure of stored reserve. The sources even call it a controlled injury.
A controlled injury? Wait, break that down for me. What's happening biologically that makes it an injury?
Well, when you sprint, your body floods with stress hormones. You're creating micro tears in your muscle fibers, massive autonomic disturbance.
I see.
And crucially, the system demands a repayment period. That sprint generates a recovery demand. So the real biological rule is that health isn't shown by the sprint itself.
It's the recovery.
It's the system's ability to repair that damage, get back to a stable baseline, and this is key, do it over and over again without breaking down.
So in sports, everyone knows this. The actual gains, the muscle growth, it happens during rest, during the recovery phase.
Yeah.
If you just keep sprinting without rest, your output collapses. We call it overtraining. Systemic dysregulation.
Now, hold that image and put it right up against our economic system. Our system, which is governed by these relentless throughput metrics, it only measures the sprint.
The GDP number.
Right. And the restoration part, it's just assumed. It's assumed to happen for free in the background. It's not accounted for.
And that assumption that the environment or the workforce or our families will just regenerate themselves for free, that's the real danger.
That is the danger. In economics, rising output under constant chronic load is a success story. But in biology, that same pattern maintaining high function despite constant stress is a huge warning sign of impending failure.
The patterns are isomorphic, as the paper says. They share the same structure.
Yes, that is such a profound point in the analysis. You're saying our global economy is literally behaving like a system trapped in sympathetic dominance.
The fight or flight mode.
Constantly. Sustained sympathetic dominance in a body leads to hypertension, metabolic syndrome, inflammation. Sustained economic growth without accounting for recovery leads to workforce burnout, ecological collapse, and spiraling debt. The underlying pattern is identical.
Wow.
And it's all underpinned by the fact that our economic system actively hides reserve depletion. It doesn't measure the slow erosion of community trust or caregiver burnout.
Or the loss of soil fertility, things that actually make performance possible in the first place.
Exactly. And this all leads to the societal version of what physiologists call allostatic overload.
Allostatic overload. That's a powerful term. For anyone listening, what does that look like at a societal level?
It's when a system keeps functioning by drawing down its reserves at an accelerating and usually invisible rate.
Okay, give me an example.
Think about delayed maintenance on critical infrastructure, bridges running past their lifespan, hospitals that are chronically understaffed. The system looks productive today.
But it's borrowing its adaptive capacity from tomorrow.
Yes. We look high-performing on paper, but we're collapsing from the inside out because we've normalized liquidating our essential capital.
And this is where it gets really, really interesting. This is where we take that biological diagnosis and apply it to our master metric, GDP.
Gross domestic product.
Yeah. And the white paper is just uncompromising here. It says GDP is structurally incapable of functioning as a measure of societal health. Full stop. It's a throughput metric. It measures transactional speed, not the condition of the system.
It measures the flow, but it's blind to the integrity of the stock. And this creates three really deep structural flaws.
Okay, let's walk through them. Flaw number one, indifference to depletion.
Right. So if you have a pristine forest, a wetland that's filtering water, providing biodiversity, GDP records zero, nothing.
It has no value until you monetize it.
Exactly. So if a developer drains the wetland, builds a condo complex, GDP goes up. Then years later, when we have to spend billions on a water purification plant to do what the wetland did for free,
GDP goes up again.
Twice. Degradation followed by a technological fix looks like a double success. We're essentially calling a wound a win.
Okay, flaw number two, and this is the one that really feels like satire. Harm remediation is counted as positive growth.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? All the money spent on late-stage system failure disaster cleanup after worse and worse climate events, massive hospital bills for preventable diseases, the cost of prisons, cleaning up toxic waste.
It all adds to GDP.
It all registers as positive economic growth. So the sicker the population and the dirtier the environment, the more GDP can potentially benefit from all the transactions to fix it.
It's a completely perverse incentive structure.
It is.
And flaw number three, the erasure of recovery time.
GDP has no register for rest. None.
Yeah.
Sleep, fallow periods for land, non-monetized care work, it's all invisible.
Unless you pay for it.
The only time rest shows up is if you buy a spa day or book a vacation. Otherwise, that essential biological work of recovery is completely unvalued.
So the diagnosis here is pretty stark. Policies that are designed to maximize GDP are basically institutionalized stress amplifiers on a planetary scale.
They're tracking how hard we can rev the engine without ever checking the oil level or the engine temperature.
And the time asymmetry this creates is so political, isn't it?
Deeply. GDP measures transactions happening right now, so it structurally privileges any policy with immediate benefits, even if the costs accumulate slowly and get pushed into the future.
Which explains why things like preventive health care or environmental protection or just basic infrastructure maintenance are always so undervalued.
Of course. They preserve future capacity, which GDP cannot reward today. They're framed as costs to be cut, not investments in our ability to function.
And this whole concept, this prioritization of performance, it's the top of a kind of semantic ladder, right?
That's a great way to put it. It was performance, which led to productivity, which led to growth, and it all culminated in GDP. At every single step, the metric got more abstract, more detached from biological reality.
But more powerful politically and financially.
A total evacuation of meaning.
And then this flawed logic gets cemented at the very highest level of global policy. The Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs.
Yeah, the framework that's supposed to be our guide to a healthier, more stable world.
But it contains this huge internal contradiction.
The paper calls it a quiet but decisive fracture line. You have all these goals for health, equity, environmental protection. That's SDGs 1 through 7, 9 through 17. But then you hit SDG 8.
Decent work and economic growth.
And it elevates sustained GDP growth as a universal target. It just reinstalls the very performance grammar that all the other goals are trying to escape.
So it's policy schizophrenia. The global framework is telling countries to minimize degradation while at the same time maximizing the very dynamic that causes the degradation.
It's literally asking governments to step on the gas and the brake simultaneously. And it means the growth-driving parts of government treasuries, central banks, are always structurally favored over the damage-containing parts, like environmental agencies.
People have tried to fix this with adjectives, right? green growth, inclusive growth. Why does the source material argue those are just not enough?
Because they leave the core causal variable growth untouched. It's like trying to graft recovery logic onto a grammar that is designed for extraction. You can't just slap the word green on a throughput metric and turn it into a recovery metric.
It needs a deeper ontological shift.
A fundamental change in what we even think success is.
And this is where we move from just measuring output toward this a much deeper concept, functional realization.
Yes. This is the necessary evolution. The health sector started moving toward functional ability. You know, what can people do in their daily lives? Which was a start.
But functional realization goes deeper.
Much deeper. Functional ability might see someone working two precarious jobs, running on 4 hours of sleep, and say, success, they're participating in the economy.
Right. High output.
But functional realization asks a different question. Is this participation happening within a biologically solvent, recovery-compatible envelope?
So functional realization sees the high output, but it also diagnoses the progressive allostatic overload, the fact that this person is liquidating their own future health just to keep up.
Exactly. It judges the sustainability of the output itself, and that's central to reframing development. So if GDP is the wrong index.
How should we define development? If it's not about accelerating output, what is it?
It is the expansion of a system's capacity to absorb shock, recover from disturbance, and sustain function over time.
Wow.
The new rule is simple. A society is more developed not when it can extract more today, but when it can recover faster, more completely, and more equitably after a crisis tomorrow.
That completely inverts our thinking. It makes recovery infrastructure, our care systems, our ecosystems, the primary productive capital, not a cost to be minimized.
That's the inversion. I love that.
Okay, this is a beautiful idea, but it's a massive shift. If we're going to get rid of the, you know, the brutal simplicity of GDP, what do we measure instead? What are the domains of this new post-performance grammar?
The paper proposes four essential domains, and they correspond directly to the needs of any living system. The first is a much deeper measure of resilience.
Domain one, resilience.
And this has to be measured not just by the speed of recovery, but by the depth and completeness. Think of a financial crisis. A system might look like it bounced back quickly.
The stock market recovery.
Right. The speed looks good. But if that rebound leaves behind deeper inequality, more household debt, less social trust, that isn't true resilience. We should be measuring the restoration of autonomic balance in people and in ecosystems.
Okay. Domain two, plasticity.
This is the system's capacity to adapt and reorganize. Can a society learn? Can it change course without fracturing? You'd measure this by things like institutional learning, policy reversibility.
The ability to admit you were wrong and pivot.
Exactly. A rigid system performs great until it hits a wall and shatters. Plasticity is how much room you have to maneuver before things break.
Makes sense. Domain three, functional realization.
We touched on this. It asks if our social structures, work, education are compatible with basic biological needs. Does the system allow for enough sleep, for healthy parenting, for graceful aging? Labor law in this world becomes a tool for protecting recovery.
Not just regulating output. And the fourth domain, sustainability, which is reframed as intergenerational reserve.
And this one is maybe the most critical because it directly reverses the time problem of GDP. It's about preserving the adaptive capacity we pass on to future generations.
And how would you measure that?
With tangible things like early life stress exposure, which sets the course for lifelong health, or soil regeneration time. This domain structurally privileges the future, right now.
So if we govern using these four metrics, the whole game changes. Growth is no longer the primary goal.
It becomes a conditional derivative outcome. Growth might happen, it might not, but it's no longer the scorecard for success. A country with high GDP growth but rising allostatic load in its people would be classified as a development failure.
Not a success story.
And fiscal policy would shift from being about maximizing extraction to being about managing stress distribution across society.
Okay, let me challenge this for a second. Isn't this just politically naive? The entire political and financial apparatus is addicted to the GDP metric. If we just stopped focusing on it tomorrow, wouldn't everything crash?
That dependency is exactly what the paper calls the persistence problem. The system hangs on because the performance paradigm rewards short political terms and financial market discounting. It's an addiction.
So the instability we feel isn't because the new idea is wrong.
It's because structural recovery has been deferred for so long. Mm-hmm. Slowing down feels like a collapse because we're already running on fumes.
That is such a powerful civilizational diagnosis. that the global economy is trapped in a state that mirrors chronic stress. With no recovery, we're just generating constant load while treating our recovery systems, health, ecosystems, care as costs to be cut.
And the core principle for reform, according to this analysis, has to be uncompromising. No society can be said to be developing if it is reducing its capacity to recover.
The crisis isn't really about resource scarcity, then. It's about misnaming what's actually primary.
We have to rename capacity as primary and rename recovery as success.
That reframes everything.
Mm-hmm.
The test of a successful society isn't how rich a few people are, but how resilient the entire system is.
And that leads to the final provocative thought for you to take away, a truth that's based on, really, physiological law. The test is simple and it is uncompromising. A society that cannot slow down without breaking is already broken.
Wow.
The future of governance won't be decided by how fast we can accelerate, but by whether we finally learn how to recover in time.